Good morning out there on internet land, and we welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and affirm wholeheartedly with our lives every day that Jesus Christ gave us three commands. And in those three commands, all of the scripture are wrapped up. Love God, love others, and go. And in those commands, we find ourselves today, because as the Heart of Christ Church, we want to be the heart of Christ into this world, taking the gospel of the good news, which is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins because of His love for the Father and His love for us. Therefore, may we be the example that Christ has been to us and for us unto the world. And the church says, and amen. Well, today I'm going to be talking on my sermon title today. It's called Extravagant Grace. And I hope that this is an encouragement to each and every one of you, because I know it is to me. I look around at the things that are happening, and I know we're all following what's happening over in Israel with Gaza and Hamas and all the stuff that's happening over there. We're still concerned with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and you know, we hear the wars and rumors of wars. We see the pestilence and the turmoil, and everything that Jesus said was going to happen is happening. Can I get an amen? Amen? But we need to understand that in the midst of all that stuff, we live in an extravagant grace. What do I mean by that? Because it doesn't look like an extravagant grace right now. How many of you are finding that when you go to the grocery store, you can't buy as much as you used to could? You know, how many of you are noticing your bills keep going up, but the paycheck don't? We all look around and we see the troubles. I'm telling you right now, as a pastor, I get more phone calls and I talk to more people who are depressed, who are finding themselves in a point of stress that is beyond some of the things that we've known. I mean, I can remember being a young man, and the most stressed thing I had was having to get up every day and go to work. And I look at that now and I say to myself, wow, if we could only turn the clock back to the way things used to be. But we know we can't, and we don't want to, because we want to move forward into the future that God has for us. Can I get an amen, church? Because we know how the story ends. And it's not just a story, it is the truth. For God has prophesied it and it is coming true. And as we look at that, may we remember who we are and whose we are. And to that, I've got to take you to the book of Daniel. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're going to be in the 9th chapter. Daniel in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, this is going to be a long reading, but I have to read all of this so we can see what was going on. And I want us to understand that as we look at what's happening here with Daniel, all of us know this piece of scripture. It's the 70 weeks. Okay, we all know this piece of scripture. If you've been in church for any length of time, we all know this is the 70 weeks. And I want us to understand, Daniel knew why they were in the trouble that they were in. But I want you to take note to how he addresses this problem that he finds himself in. And I want us to take note, because we find ourselves in this difficult time when the United States isn't this big, wonderful thing and everything's good. Things are getting worse. Things are getting harder. And they're going to get harder. If God's book is true, and we know God's book is true, amen, we know things are going to get harder. But I want us to understand the why. Because one of the things we need to understand, God disciplines nations. Can I get an amen, church? And when a nation that calls by His name, a nation that He has established, turns from Him, what does God do? He brings discipline. He brings judgment. And that's exactly where Israel found itself, and Daniel was in the midst of that judgment. So let's check the heart of Daniel. From Daniel in the 9th chapter, beginning in the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. In the first year of Denarius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words, which he had spoken against us, against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it in on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned and we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins, the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and your heart. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. When I read that prayer, I often wonder how many of us utilize such a prayer as the way we pray. We all pray. We all pray for forgiveness of our sins. We all pray for people who need healing. We pray for so many different things. If you're a Christian, you pray. Can I get an amen? Because it's part of who we are. It's not something we do. It's part of our life. Okay, it's not a to-do, it's a to-be. Okay, when we pray, if you remember what I've taught about prayer, prayer is to come away from our to-do to be with God. And here, the prophet was very real in how he approached this prayer. Because he looked at it and he looked at it and he looked at it and he said, our iniquity has brought this into being. What we have done has brought this judgment upon us. And it's fair. What you've done to us, you told us you were going to do to us. It wasn't a surprise. And I want you to think about our land right now. We once held the world status in our monetary system. All the governments of the world had to trade in American dollars. How's that working for us right now? It's not. Have you noticed, and I don't know whether you've been noticing, but I've been watching some of the financial markets. I've been watching some of the stuff. In fact, I just got my MMBB. My MMBB, that's my retirement through the church, okay? In the last month, I lost $10,000. That's just 1 month, gone, out of here. Never see it again. Am I going to cry about that? No. But I'm looking at a reality that all of us are looking at. How many of you, I spoke it earlier, how many of you are seeing that your money doesn't go as far as it used to? How many of you are also understanding within this last week, a record number never seen before of banks have closed? We have never seen this before, not in the United States. Now, I'm not talking the whole bank closed. They're closing branches everywhere. Why are they doing that? Because they can't afford to keep operating the way they're operating, because there isn't as much money. Now, wait a minute. Don't we have $33 trillion worth of money out there? Because we just printed all this money. There's $33 trillion worth of debt that we just printed money and printed money and printed money. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 4 months, we added $2.4 trillion. I just got this stuff off the internet last night. $2.4 trillion to that. Well, so it went from 33, now it's at 35. And we're not done. And it's going to keep going. And as it does, we're going to see the interest rates go up to try and tame this inflation. How many of you are noticing that? We see these trends. We see these things happening. Why? Because we have turned away from God as a nation. Can I get an amen, church? And as a nation who is called by His name, it says right on our dollar bill, in God we trust. When we say the Pledge of Our Allegiance, it says one nation under God. When we look at our Declaration of Independence, when we look at our Constitution, they are all based on the Word of God. And yet the people of the nation have turned their back on God. We've kicked Him out of the schools. We've kicked Him out of the legislatures. We've kicked Him out of everything we can kick Him out of. And then we ask for blessing. Isn't that what was going on with Judah? That is the exact same sin that Judah did. They would not listen to the word of the Lord. They knew whose they were, but they were worshiping false gods, and they weren't doing what the Lord told them to do. And therefore, judgment came upon them. So when I look at where Daniel is here with the prayer that he is offering up here, saying that it's our iniquity that has brought this. It is our iniquity that has brought this thing in before us. And he says, because your people have not sought you out, because they have not obeyed you, these things have come. And then he asks for a restoration in the latter part of that prayer, doesn't he? But I'm going to ask you a question. Did you hear him pray in there for himself? Did you hear him pray in there for restoration of the people? One time. One time. But the rest of his prayer for restoration was for what? His name. His name. Lord, remember your name. Remember your holy city. Remember your sanctuary. That's where God's name dwelt. That's where God's glory dwelt. He was asking God to bring himself back to glory. That's what we need to be asking of our nation, that we would bring back the glory of God. Because if we don't bring back the glory of God, God's not going to glory in us in any manner or any fashion. And I will say amen to that. Because the truth of the matter is thus and such. He is God. We are the created, not the creator. When you and I start asking for ourselves, and it's not a bad thing to ask for yourself, you can ask for prayers, you can ask for healing, you can ask for forgiveness. But when you're talking about restoration, it's got to be the restoration of His glory in the land. That we would turn to Him, that we would humble ourselves, get on our face before God, and say, "You are God. We have messed this thing up." And when we do, God humbles Himself from heaven to hear our prayer. And it's so amazing what God will do in your life and in the life of our country. But we have to humble ourselves. And I'm not talking just about the church and about you folks on the internet. I'm talking beyond us. That's why our prayer walks are so important, that we need to get out there and talk to our neighborhood and let them know, we don't care if you don't come to church. Let us pray for you. Because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's what the prayer walks are all about. That's why we go on the prayer walks. I don't go on those prayer walks to save a soul. I go on those prayer walks to touch a life, that they may know that we care. Because when they know we care, then they will be willing to entrust us. Mitch just said, the one lady, and he spelled this out for me, so I'm using exactly what the Lord gave me this morning. The one lady that they spoke to just spilled everything to them. Every intimate detail about where they are, what's going on in her life. Why? Because she needed somebody to listen. How many of us just want somebody to listen? Man, I'm telling you right now, you can be in a room full of people and be the most alone person you've ever known. Can I get an amen, church? And that's where we find our world, because that's what the evil one wants. We need to remember, we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities in these dark places. We need to understand that right now, what's happening in Israel with Hamas and what's happening in Russia with Ukraine, all that stuff is the darkness of our world raising itself up to get our eyes focused on that, to get our eyes focused on hate, to get our eyes focused on division, to get our eyes focused on it. When God should be our focus. And Jesus told us, love God, love others, and go. You know, I listened to a pundit the other day, and he said, this whole thing is just dividing us all. Here in the United States, we had, you know, Jewish rallies where they were rallying for Israel. Destroy them, destroy them, destroy them. And then you had other ones over here for Hamas and Palestine. Destroy them, destroy them. You know, and we're talking back and forth to each other, right? Folks, that's wrong. We're talking about human life. We are eternal beings. But Satan has us so divided against ourselves that we don't even understand what we're saying. Because we're saying, I want to send everybody to hell. Do you realize that's what we're saying? When you stand in division, there's no healing. There's no restoration. There's no loving God. There's no loving others. And you're certainly not going. Daniel understood what was necessary. The glory of God is necessary. Because it's only in the glory of God that we find love, that we find purpose, that we find joy, that we find hope. So we need to restore God to that right place. We know He's God. So let's act like He's God, and let's be children of the Word. And God reached down from heaven, and He spoke to Daniel. I want you to think about this. The God of the universe wants to speak to you. And what He gave Daniel, because Daniel's prayer was a righteous prayer. Would you agree with me on that? Daniel's prayer was, he didn't ask for much of anything for himself. One time he talked about us, the people, okay? Because the people are called by His name. If you caught that, they are His people called by His name. So it was really to glorify Himself because the people were His. Are we not God's people? So if we ask God to be glorified, do you think He's going to glorify us? That others will see and know Christ through us. But you see, God did something amazing here with Daniel, because He knew the heart of Daniel. And here, God gives us a blueprint for the future. And in that blueprint, all of time, from the time of Daniel to the time of the millennium, is wrapped up in these next few verses. It's not many verses, but the entirety of the Bible is wrapped up. And He tells us what's going to happen. You see, this is the God who loves us so much that when we pray the righteous prayer, He opens our eyes to things that are so much bigger than us. And He says, you see, I've got it all taken care of, but I need you to enter in with me by recognizing who I am. And then I will pour something out on you that you have no idea of. What am I talking about? Let's read on from the book of Daniel, from verse 20 through 27. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolation, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolation. Now we read that scripture, I know I read that scripture, and I know what it's talking about because of the theological references that have been given to it over time. For the last 2,000 years, we've been watching this unravel. And one of the things I'm going to tell you is God gave us a calendar. Now Daniel knew, if you remember at the beginning of this, Daniel knew that they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. But here it says there's 70 weeks. We need to understand that Gabriel here, that's the archangel Gabriel, is speaking about 70 weeks of years. So when we think of a week as being 7 years, the first was 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks. When we think about that 7 weeks, that's 49 years. That was what time was left to fulfill the 70-year judgment on Israel before they would go back to the land. And then there were 62 weeks. And that 62 weeks is 434 years. That 434 years, and it literally, when you look at the dates, when you look at what transpired in Israel, when Daniel was there, what year it was when this was professed, to the time of Messiah's death, it adds up to 483 years. And it says, and Messiah will be cut off. What does that mean? He would be crucified. because he made the total sacrifice. He set all things in place. And he went into heaven, and his blood was poured on the altar of heaven that the sanctuary would be made holy. We're not talking about the earthly sanctuary there. We're talking about the heavenly sanctuary. And now a time has come in, because there's one more week left, because there were 69 weeks. And there's one more week to come in. But we are living in that time of the Messiah's death. We are living in that time of extravagant grace that I want us to understand today. Because it's only during this time in history, it's known as the age of the church, that all men may be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. That if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, repent from your sins, walk in his ways, obey his word, you will be saved. That grace is so extravagant that God, in his New Testament, has said he has left the sins of the past unpunished. What is the punishment for sin? Death. And we understand that as being total separation from God. Amen. But in Christ Jesus, he overlooks that sin for those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, and he brings us into a living relationship. He brings us into a point of grace that we don't deserve. The God of the universe dies on our behalf. He's been cut off. How long do we have? We don't know. We do not know. But this I know, God is a God of perfection. Can I get an amen? The number seven is perfection. Amen? How long have we been going from the beginning of time until now? From the beginning, when I'm talking Adam and Eve, I'm not talking this stuff science talks about. From the beginning of time till now, it's 6,000 years. So that means there's about 1,000 left. Isn't seven the number of perfection? And Messiah is guaranteed 1,000 years at the end. How close are we to finding ourselves where the things come to an end? Because that last week has to play out. During this time of extravagant grace, this time that we live in today, we find ourselves in a point where this is the only time in all of history where God literally waits upon us to chase us down when we turn. Do you know God had to be called upon? You had to come to him. That's the way it was in the law. You had to come to him by his statutes. Now, all you need to do is claim Jesus Christ, and he comes to you. But pastor, you know that. How do you know that? How do I know that? Turn in your Bibles, because Jesus told us this. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. We all know this story. And we all think it's a wonderful story. But what it is a picture of the extravagant grace that each and every one of us live in. We're going to begin in the 11th verse. How many of us would say here today, I am the prodigal son? I am the prodigal son. Because that's who we are in this picture that Jesus paints to us. He is showing us the extravagant grace of God, and I'm going to explain the why. From the 11th verse in the 15th chapter in the book of Luke. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was given anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now we know that's not the rest of the story, because the rest of the story from verse 25 to the end of that parable talks about the church, and that we should not be jealous of those who come and receive forgiveness and are restored. Because number one, we have to remember, God's the God of everything. And what we have really isn't ours anyhow. But the truth of it is, everything God has, He's given us. So why are we complaining when somebody else comes back? Because we're not going to ever spend everything God has. Can I get an amen? But in this first section, we see something here. We see something very real. And this is why this is called extravagant grace. This young man, this one who turned on his father, said, I wish you were dead. You do realize that's what he told his dad at the very beginning of this. I want nothing to do with you. You are dead to me. Give me my inheritance. I want to ask you all a very serious question right now. How many of us are owed anything? You need to hear that. And there are people out there in the streets that think they're owed everything. We know the truth. We are owed nothing. We deserve death. And we hold to that because we are sinners, every one of us. But God in His love, from before time immortal, prepared His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. I wish you were dead. He already was. And now we have our inheritance, because we have come back to Him. And when we came back, did the Father, every one of us sinned. Can I get an amen? And when we came back, He rejected us. He kicked us down. He said, you're going to have to work for it, didn't He? No, He didn't. In fact, the only reason we came back was because He came at us. He sent His Holy Spirit to woo us, to draw us back home. He allowed that hardship to come, that famine in the land, that we would realize we're nothing without Him, because everything we have, everything this world gives us, is going to perish, and it's going to go away, and we're going to be hungry again. And Jesus says, I have come. Please take water from me that you may never thirst again. Eat that you may never hunger again, because He is the eternal Father. He is the eternal drink. He is the eternal meat. And when we partake of Him, we are satisfied unto the full. And when we do get hungry again, because I know we all get hungry, we eat three meals a day, right? Every day. How many of you eat a whole bunch more snacks? So too it is with our Lord. When we have want, all we need go to Him, and He will fill us. But the amazing thing is, here we see a picture of God, a picture of God that I love, a picture of God that I need every day of my life. And that is, when I turn from my sin, my Father comes to me. You know, I think of my earthly father. I'm going to do some confession time here. My earthly father and I did not agree. How many of you young men out there understand that one? It's a testosterone thing. Ladies, you all know it with your moms. My earthly father would reject me and reject me and reject me because he would hold a grudge. And guess who else did too? My earthly father's no longer here. Hasn't been here since I was 30. Do you think when I was 32, I could have wished to talk to him one more time? How about 35, 40, 45? Well, I turned 62 this year. And yeah, I would love to be able to talk to him one more time. But the awesome thing is, and this is what the Father has shown me, no matter how many times I screw up, all I have to do is turn. Turn from that sin. Turn from. I don't have to go anywhere. All I have to do is turn. And guess where he is? Right here. He who seemed so far away is now here. Here. That's extravagant grace. We deserve death. Each and every one of us knows it. We understand why the things are happening in this world that are happening because we turned away from God. Now, I do have to say, praise God and glory to Jesus' name, we overturned Roe versus Wade. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. And we're beginning to understand that when we turn from our evil way, God will bless us. But there's a whole lot more turning needs to happen. Can I get an amen? And there's a whole lot more extravagant grace that God wants to pour out on the life of this church, on the life of our country, on the life of the world, because everyone deserves to be saved. No, they don't. But God desires that they would be. And that's something we all need to remember. We don't deserve salvation. God desires it for us. And when we turn, all we have to do is turn. He's right there. And that's what I want us to remember today. When we start hearing about these wars and rumors of wars, I want the killing to stop. End it. You know, I can't help but think, you know, when I think about the number of babies that we murdered in our world, when I think of what happened just this past week in Israel and Gaza, and we know what's happening. We're hearing the reports. Babies being beheaded, people being burnt alive. What's wrong with us? And yes, I say us, because we're part of the human equation. We have a message to tell people. And sitting in your living room, sitting on your couch, sitting in your lazy boy, sipping a cup of coffee, saying, oh Lord, isn't going to cut it anymore. We need to be the church triumphant. Isn't that who we are? Jesus said, far greater things than I have done will you do. Now I want you to understand that in the way it was presented. Far greater things than I have done will, question mark, you do. He's not telling you you will. He's asking you if you will. That's not the way that's written in my Bible. Do you realize the Bible doesn't have punctuation? We're the ones who put that there. I want you to think about that comment in a different light. He's asking you to cooperate with him. He's asking you to step into this grace that we have. And it's not just a grace for you and me, but it's a grace for everybody. I think of where we are in our world. Does our world need grace right now? Church, I'm calling you. God's been calling me. Grace. I don't need division anymore. We don't want division anymore. We need grace. And what does it say? But grace is an outpouring of God's love. And love will cover a multitude of sins. It's already covered all of yours. Amen? Let's see if we can't cover the world. But that means we need to be involved. We need to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Take what you've received and give it to others. We have a hope that is so great, so powerful, that when we are finally restored, what did the Father do? He didn't just love on his kid and say, yeah, come on back into the house and I'll make you a servant. He put him right into the sonship that he had before he left. Now, I'm going to ask you all a question. According to that text, does that second son get the rest of the inheritance? I got a Bible teacher over here shaking his head no. And he doesn't. But he gets to come into the grace of God. And that grace is all sufficient. We need to remember there are going to be those who come in at the very end. And that's where we are, brothers and sisters. And they're not going to have a whole lot when they get to heaven, but they're going to have heaven. Amen. They're going to have salvation. They're going to have that hope. They're going to have life. And that needs to be our work. We've been in this grace for a period of time. We've been able to build up those treasures in heaven. Amen. Let's build up a few more by talking a little bit more to people. You know, I don't do this for the treasures. I really don't. Because I'll guarantee you, I already see my treasure. You're all sitting in front of me. I don't get to see you folks out there on internet land, but I know you're there. I see the responses, and we see the number of you that are watching on all the different platforms that we have, and I praise God because you are my treasure. But that means you need to be involved in who you are, in what you are. Mitch spoke it this morning. He didn't even know I was going to say this today. I'm not the church. I'm part of it. But you're the church. And it's our job to take that extravagant grace and speak on it. Speak on Him. Restore His holy name. It should be on our lips every moment of every day because we have received it. Daniel understood it. May we understand it. And may we begin proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ to bring back that glory into our land. Because it's all about Him, who He is, what He has done, and what He'll yet do. So today I'm going to leave you with this thought. The grace that you have, will you so much as give it away? Because I'm going to tell you, you've got the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. And He resides in you. What are you going to do with Him? I pray that this day you will extend that extravagant grace because there is no greater thing to give than hope, love, and the name that is above every name. The name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And what is that name? Father God, we come before You today. And I pray that as we see this time coming to an end, we're fast approaching that last week. But until that day, Lord, we are living in a time of grace, extravagant grace, that none of us deserves. But that You have afforded unto all of us. So may we turn once again to You. Hold to Your statutes. Take that hope that we have out into this world and bring glory to Your name in every way we can. And that just simply means being alive to You, thanking You, pointing You out, and showing the hope we have. In very real ways, even as the days get darker, for that grace surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' holy name, we give Thee thanks and praise. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.